Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Terry and Robin's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Chicken roasting on the grill.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, enough levity or whatever this is. or something. So, it is time that I guess we got into the actual topic for the show tonight. And we have been working a series of shows kind of reverse engineering, deconstructing and rebuilding and explaining ritual from the ground up. And we've covered circle casting. You and Night Owl had a great conversation about the quarters and the elements themselves as a whole the week I was in Dubai. Or was it Dubai? Anyway, now we are going to take each of the elements and the directions separately. And tonight we're talking about the East.
Uh-huh.
So what are your thoughts or what did you want to share with our listeners about the East? Or the air, I guess. Let's start with air as the elemental air.
Okay. Well, first, let me say that for me, in my personal practice, I do not consider the East to be air. I call it as water, but that's neither here nor there. But mostly it's because I lived most of my adult life right on the East Coast of the United States. I mean, literally was at the beach doing circle every month. So, you know, you couldn't really turn toward the ocean and stand there and call air. It just didn't quite feel right when you're standing on the beach. So with that said, for me, the element of air is about change and about being flexible and knowing how to get your message across in the correct way. Sort of, and it's a horrible thing to say, you know, you're kind of going with the flow of the air and riding the air currents, as it were, like a bird gliding on the prevailing wind. The element of air also, we talked a little bit about on that show with Jackie at PA Night Owl, we talked a little bit about the elemental beings. And I really do think that it's very important for each person who's going to be practicing and standing in circle and calling in the elements to understand when they're calling an element, when they're standing in circle, what they're really doing is requesting the presence of that elemental being. And it is the elementals that help us with our workings. They're the ones who are our messengers. They are our support system, if you will, the conduit in a lot of ways to help our whatever we're asking for in our ritual, whatever our need is. But whatever our need is, they're the ones who are going to help facilitate that. So, very important to reach out to the element of air and figure out your relationship with that particular element. Air can sometimes be a trickster and can sometimes also be there to warn you about certain things that are coming. So you want to make
mm-hmm.
sure that you have a good relationship with the element of air.
You specifically said something about messengers, and then you alluded again to get warnings. I certainly
mm-hmm.
think of the elements, you know, the air elementals, as
mm-hmm.
being kind of the messengers of the group.
Mm-hmm.
The ideas, inspiration, all of those I tend to attribute to the air elemental.
Uh-huh.
That little wisp of wind that passes your ear and you hear a voice.
Right.
That little whisper. Those are, to my way of thinking, those are the air elementals communicating.
Yeah.
Bringing us messages, bringing us fresh new ideas that start us on a road toward accomplishing something. The muses of the elementals, as it were. So you were saying, I apologize for jumping in front of you there.
That's okay. I was just going to say, I think I have told the story previously about a spell working that I had done where I had specifically petitioned the element of air to have something happen for the person that I was doing the working for, and it sort of backfired on me when the person changed their mind. And for like 6 months, stuff would fall off shelves when I would walk by it, and, you know, things would blow over outside all the time, and in the house there was seemed to be a breeze and which slammed doors, and I mean it was a good 6 months. I knew it was because I had pissed off the elemental being of air, and there wasn't too much I could do about it. I offerings and, you know, burned incense and talked to the element and tried to make peace, and eventually it worked, but it took me a good 6 months. So, and if that sounds a little crazy, it's because you haven't experienced this. And again, this path is experiential. And until you have an experience like this, where you actually say, you know what, I'm not crazy, this is actually happening, and you go to your coven mates or you go to your friends who also practice the craft and say, you know, I've had this experience, and they go, oh my gosh, me too, and they validate it for you, it's only then that you'll realize that you really, you know, you're not crazy, and this really is happening, and this is real. And it has happened from time to time again.
Just because it's real doesn't mean you're not crazy. Let's not get, you know.
Well, there is that. I am, you know, slightly less of normal anyway, but in a good way, is what I always tell people. Yeah, I'm crazy, but, you know, in a good way. So, well, hey, you know, what the heck?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think many of us have had experiences. You know, we've either just counted or didn't understand. You know, the elements will reach out to us at times in our lives. It's a matter of whether or not we recognize it. And then, if we do recognize it, do we, as you said, seek validation from, a priestess or a priest in our world, or, you know, coven mates, or, you know, if you're operating as a solitary, do you reach out to other people? And, you know, so there is that level of validation, but there's also I think that a lot of people that I speak to don't work closely with the elementals themselves. People tend to work with, gods and goddesses, but I don't think that people connect with the elementals as much as, you and I do, and the tradition that, you know, that you come from, and, you know, my understanding of the world. I'm not sure how many people, you know, because I talk to a lot of people about the elementals when they kind of look at me. I've even been questioned, you work directly with the elementals? Yeah, of course. What are some ways that we can connect with air? We're talking specifically about air tonight, so what are some of the ways that we can connect with air?
I've always thought, you know, for me, incense, collecting feathers and putting them on your altar, because, of course, you know, birds fly. Standing outside on the edge of a, you know, well, it doesn't necessarily have to be on the edge of a hill, but standing outside in the air and letting the breeze blow against your face and move your hair. It's a very powerful feeling, that feeling of when a storm is coming up and you go outside and you can feel, you know, the wind blowing through your hair and hitting your face and rippling your clothes, and you can feel the moisture coming on the air, the foretelling of the storm. And this is that quintessential moment when you are one with that element. It is doing its job. It is foretelling you of something that's coming. The weather is coming. And you're feeling it. And you're not only feeling the wind, but you're feeling the electricity in the air and the moisture in the air. And it's sending its message. It's telling you. It's foreseeing what's going to happen. It's foreshadowing. And for me, that's what the element of air has always been about, foreshadowing of things to come. It's letting you know, hey, this thing is on its way. It is the messenger. It is a way to, I don't want to use the word divine, because it's not really a way of divining what's going to happen, but it is a signpost to point you in a direction to say, hey, look out, you know, this is coming, this is going to happen.
The
winds of change. I mean, the winds of change. People use that term because the wind is the foreteller of change to come, whether it's a storm or whatever it is. The change in the wind is the indication of change. Why do we say that?
The wind coming from a different direction.
Exactly. So it can be a change in the weather. It can, you know, and that affects us. And that's what these things.
Because right now, I mean, let's look at it. The wind's out of the north. That is an unusual direction for the winds here. And what is it bringing with us? It's bringing bloody cold.
Right.
So that is, you know, an indication of the power of the wind. I will share this. One of the things that I love to do when a storm is coming is to put on a cloak and go out and stand in the wind and let the wind play with that cloak and feel it whipping and rippling and hear the sound it makes. And I get the feeling sometimes that the air elementals come to play in the cloak. It's almost like I've given them a toy. And it's something that I just love the feel of just before the storm. So,
yep, me too.
You know, and one thing that occurred to me when you were speaking, wind chimes. You know, what an amazing way to let the wind play, let the air elementals play and make beautiful music. You know, we've got that one wind chime hanging out in the tree, the big one that has those deep tones. And I just love the sound of that. And sometimes, even when it's not moving too much, you'll hear a breeze blow across the top of one of them and it'll sing to you without actually hitting the clapper.
Right.
And I'll be outside sometimes and I'll hear the home. As the air flows across the top of it, but not enough to move it, to clap and ding. And I always feel like that's, you know, if not a message, at least it's a greeting. You know, a recognition of, you know, hey, I'm, you know, I came by to say hi. You know, nothing more. You know, my big experience with wind, with the air elementals, though, came when I was in Panama a few years ago. And I'm sitting up on a mountaintop. And I just sat and entered a meditative state, you know, just a light state. I had people around me, so I wasn't, you know, going to go too deep. But I sat there cross-legged looking out over, I think it was the Atlantic Ocean. And if I went over on the other side of the hill, I could see the Pacific. So that's how high I was, and the mountains there between the two oceans in Panama. And I'm sitting there, and the breeze was coming up off the ocean and up the mountain and being channeled by a couple of bridges. And it was just whispering in my ear, and you could hear voices. I could never quite make out a word, but there were voices in the wind.
Uh-huh.
And I was reminded in that moment to, of why our ancestors always associated high places with the gods, because you can hear them speaking to you. And that wind and the air moving across your ears in those high places remind us. And I have been, I won't say altered, but my perception has definitely been opened from that experience.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's something I still tell this story years later, because it moved me. So that's my air elemental big experience. You know, I mean, there's the little ones all the time. You know, as you connect, you get those messages like the wind chime, where the breeze is singing to me. Not necessarily enough to move the clapper, but it's a little across the top. Your and I's ability to, when we're out by the campfire, out by the fire pit, to, you know, ask the wind to please move that smoke over somewhere not in my face. You know, I grew up doing that from teenage years. I thought everybody could do it.
Right.
And until I realized that not everybody can do that. But those are the little things that remind us of our connection. And those things don't happen if we don't have that connection.
True.
So, you mentioned feathers. I mentioned wind chimes. You said incense. That was the other. Yeah, and, incense and adding scent, that is representative of air. That's one of the ways that we can certainly bring elemental air into our atmosphere is to burn incense. Of course, that also corresponds with fire, because the fire is necessary to burn the material to make the smoke. So there you've got, the next element we're going to talk about. And, fire and incense together represent the masculine elementals. And we'll talk more about that on the next installment of this series. So we've talked about connecting. Do those same, in your opinion, Robin, do those same processes of connecting, do they also honor and remind us and the air elementals of our connection and our relationship? Or are there other things that you do to separately to honor the relationship with the air elementals?
Well, we do many things. The one is we do have the wind chimes outside in the tree. We have a couple of them. And that's sort of to let the wind know that, yes, we're aware that it's there, and here's this pleasant little thing for it to play with. I mean, that's always sort of been my approach to it. And, of course, we honor the air, the elemental being of air on our altar by having things like feathers and incense and, it could be anything. It could be cotton balls. It could be, you know, whatever you want it to be that's gonna represent the element of air to you. And it doesn't have to be something expensive. You know, it can be a little ceramic dish you picked up at the Five and Dime or the thrift store that you burn incense on. It doesn't have to be, you know, a $25 incense burner. The elements don't care. The only thing they really care about is that you honor them and that you want to create a relationship and a rapport with them. And, you know, honoring and acknowledging air is one way to do that. We also feed the birds. And although that seems not to really be obvious that it's honoring the element of air, the birds are friends with the air. They fly through the air. They use the air currents to get lift and to soar and to, you know, stay aloft. And so by honoring the birds, we also, in my opinion, honor the element of air. Even if the chickens did dig up my bulbs, I mean, you know. Although chickens don't fly much.
And they were chasing that dove away from the bird
yeah.
feed over the weekend.
This is true.
That was almost comical.
It was
watching the dove kept coming back to the pile of bird seed, and the chickens were defending it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was a great treasure. It was like dragon horde, and they were fighting off any would be thieves. And it was
mm-hmm.
cute, and they would take turns. It wasn't even the same chicken chasing them off every time.
Mm-hmm.
So I did get a kick out of watching that. So, you know, birds are certainly representative of air.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all birds. Let's go ahead. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, we'll talk about, we'll dig in a little more with associations. We've talked about, you know, the element itself and the elementals and developing a relationship. We've touched on honoring. And I think when we come back from the break, we'll dig in a little bit to associations, ways that you can represent air in your rituals and on your altars. And we'll take it all from there. Tonight we are playing a song. We've got Kellyanna is going to be joining us on Thursday night under the Shady Tree. And we're playing music. We try on Tuesday night to play a song by the artist that's appearing on Thursday. And then on Thursday, Kellyanna is going to talk about the song that we're playing that night. So tonight we've got a song called Black is the Color. And it's by Kellyanna, and she's actually joined by Jenna Green in this song. So this is coming up on her new album. So everybody listen to this and a couple of advertisements and stuff that we got to do and, you know, pay the bills and stuff. So stick around, and we'll be back right after this.
The Magic Jukebox Podcast presents Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through May 30th in Lafayette, Georgia. This event will feature the best in pagan music and over 100 vendors and workshops. Featuring Tuatha Day, Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Wendy Rule, Digis Christ Superdrum, Dragon Ritual Drummers, and many more. Also featuring the official release of the Green Album. This eclectic compilation of thoughts and sounds will feature various acts performing at Caldera Fest, benefiting the Rainforest Trust. Come on out and have the time of your life. Caldera Fest Pagan Music Festival, May 26th through 30th at Cherokee Farms in Lafayette, Georgia. For more information, visit calderafest.com today. See you there.
Join us on International Pagan Radio. We air great artists such as Tuatha Day and Shadows Dragon's Head.
Some of them come in the lonely, some of them stay for a spell, some of them stay for a message from the oracle in the well.
Green Fortune. if it would. Rising.
Lose yourself in rhythm, lose yourself in time, caught up in the spiral,
and many, many more.
Follow in the music, follow in the beat, dancing with...
Like our page and join our group on Facebook. InternationalPaganRadio.com, where it's all pagan, all the time.
Listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. We're glad you're with us after the break. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to Terry and Robin's Power Hours. Hey, Robin, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
All right. That is a beautiful song by Kellyanna and Gina Green. Wow.
Yes, it was.
Very, very powerful. I understand that's from their from Kellyanna's new album, Warrior Princess.
Cool.
So, yeah, very, very cool. So, before the break, we were talking about elemental air.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the elemental. We talked about attracting the elementals and developing a relationship. But we really haven't delved that much into ways to symbolize elemental air or air on the altar. You mentioned candles, and we talked about feathers, and we talked about incense. But you had some other ideas, and then you had an idea for an exercise to deepen our connection with the elemental air. So would you share that with us, please?
Well, one of the things that I was taught is that if you really want to begin to develop your relationship with one of the elements, you sit down and you do ritual just like you would always do ritual, except instead of calling all the elements, just call the one you're trying to relate to. So instead of calling, air, earth, fire, water, you're just going to call air and ask them to come into the circle and talk to them. How are you doing? What can I do to honor you? What would you like? Talk to your elemental. Spend time with it, just like you would a friend, because they will be your best friend if you need them. And believe me, you want that on your side, because life is forever throwing us, twists and turns on our path. And so always good to have a little extra help. No matter what. And when you do those exercises, it's all about that particular element. And, you can call the god and goddess or not, but you're really there to cast circle and call the individual element that you want to commune with, as it were, and get to know better. If you ask the elementals and the gods, for that matter, for what you need and information and knowledge, they will grant it.
Yeah. Well, we say all the time on the show that the divine beings always answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not yet. And sometimes the answer is I've got a better idea. So we just have to be open to listening. And again, here we come back to that, the voice of you know, the voice that we hear is very often the elemental air whispering in our ear.
Right.
So what are some of the ideas that you had beyond feathers and incense to represent air on the altar?
Well, you know, a fan, either a handheld fan if you have to, an electric fan. They sell those little itty-bitty handheld battery-operated fans. So in a pinch, you know, you could always throw one of those on there. There are lots of ways. Anything that will move air, the wing of a bird, you know, a fan, a heavens, you know, you could make, you know, when you were in school and you used to fold up a piece of paper all zigzaggy and turn it into a fan, you could make one of those.
Yeah.
Again, these things do not have to be ornate or expensive. They just have to be an expression of your sincere wanting to have a relationship with the element at hand.
You can even draw on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a little bit crafty, you could take, you know, colored pencils, markers, crayons, draw on that piece of paper, then fold it, and make your little fan that way, and then you've got a little decorative fan as well as a purpose. Doesn't mean let's never hesitate to create a little art when we create a project.
True. I'm not as arty and crafty as you are, but yes, that is very true.
Well, you know me. I mean, if there's, you know, if I'm going to create something, it's probably going to be as beautiful as I can make it. And, you know, I think that's my Celtic ancestry coming through.
Yeah, I have Celtic ancestry too, but it's not so much.
Yeah, yours comes through in hospitality and cooking and being an amazing wife and mother.
Well, thank you.
Mine comes through with a. I'm not going to say I'm an artist. I'm certainly not getting, you know, certainly not doing art at the level of being paid for it. But I do try to put as much beauty into things that I build for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be just a folded up piece of paper, but, you know, I'm going to take that folded up piece of paper and I'm going to draw on it and probably have symbols like the alchemical symbol for air, and I'll probably have the color yellow represented very heavily because, you know, I do subscribe to the standard Celtic, you know, directional associations with the elements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you expressed that in your personal work you do the, you know, the West because, and I understand, you know, you were doing all of the, you know, rituals there where you're looking at the water on the east. It's a little hard to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I would have just as easily pictured the breezes coming across and interacted with the breezes coming in off the ocean and gone from there. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And in our group practice and particularly in our public practice, we still do use the, you know, the Celtic order and directional associations. So,
right.
You know, all the things I'm going to say, I'm going to be thinking about, you know, the color yellow for East. I'm going to be, of course, the alchemical symbol for air is not going to change no matter where you put it. But,
right.
You know, I'm going to be thinking about yellows and you know, lighter oranges. You know, you get into the deeper orange, you start thinking more fire. But, you know, adding color to what we do and associating it, as long as that association works for you, and in Robin's case, she would probably add blue in, you know, or, you know, whatever it is, you know, would you still use yellow for air?
Yes.
Okay.
For me, air comes from the West, or weather comes from the West. So I've always used Eris from the West. But yeah, I still use yellow.
Okay. All right, so, I know that there are things that you do in your personal practice that are different than what we do together. So I was just, that one was one I had never asked you about. That's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that there are ways that you can bring, the multiple layers of symbolism. What are some of the other associations that you have with air that could, be done to, what tool do you use for air?
You mean on my altar?
Yeah, what ritual tool do you associate with air?
Well, I have a taxidermied wing of a vulture that a friend made for me, my friend Karen. And so for me, that personifies that for me. I use it when I do smudging for people coming into ritual, but I also use it on my altar to denote and honor the element of air. And before I get any letters about, oh my gosh, she killed a bird, it was a roadkill. It had met its own demise in its own way, and she found it on the side of the road, and she took the wings and some of the other feathers because it's what she likes to do.
Yeah. Well, that's how she honors the spirit of these animals.
That's right.
So, all right. Well, what about, I was thinking mainly about the standard ritual tools that we think of, like the athame, wand, cup, stone. Do you associate the athame to the east, or to air, rather?
No, actually, I don't. Do you?
I can go in two directions with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I can very easily associate it with fire, with athame.
Mm-hmm.
But I do tend to associate the wand and the staff more with the south because it's growing. It's something that grew, and growth is a more south, sun kind of association. So if I have to, if I'm using the four tools, I do tend to put the athame in the east to represent air, as opposed to the wand, which I always associate with the south.
Okay,
so
you're going to have
thoughts?
To explain to me why the athame would be associated with air. In your mind, what makes that correlation for you?
Well, that's one that I mean, and again, that's one of the traditional Celtic associations that I have, to a certain degree, struggled with, I will admit. The way it's been explained to me, and again, I put it there more because looking at the two tools, I have to, one representing fire and the other one is the remainder. But the idea that it, the double edge, it slices through the air and interacts with the air in that way is the way it was explained to me. I know that that's also the traditional tarot association, is that the swords are representative of air. I kind of learned to go with it because I really couldn't associate the wand with air in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So I guess that's where that comes from. So, again, I ask your thoughts.
Well, I've always looked at, if you wanted to look at the tarot decks, I've always looked at all of the aces of each suit as having to do in some ways with air, because the aces are, about in my opinion, the Aces are about that same sort of foreshadowing and foretelling and warning and things that are coming your way. And I think that on most of the Aces, if I'm not mistaken, they have clouds and they have clouds and wind sort of is intimated in those cards. So I don't really go by suit as much as I do by the cards themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, also I've always associated the Fool card as wind, because you know the Fool is the one going on this journey and learning new things and communicating with all of the other characters in the deck. And again, on his card, there are clouds and little swirly things that might indicate that there is wind, and he is sort of standing on the edge of a cliff. And you would imagine that it would be somewhat windy, you know, standing on the edge of the cliff there with his little puppy dog at his heels. So for me, and also as I said, the correlation with the journey and the communicating with people and learning and the accumulation of knowledge from each person in the deck, each card that he interacts with. And then there are runes, Norse runes that correlate to the element of air and all sorts of other symbols that you can find. That also correlate with air, that you could use on your altar, on a garment, paper that you're going to turn into a fan, whatever it is.
Okay. Fair enough.
Am I rambling?
Now, see, these are the discussions that are fun. And delving into the tarot, we're kind of crossing over to the other stuff that we're doing. But I do tend to see the suits each representing an element.
Mm-hmm.
And the aces are the beginnings of that relationship with that element. So, that's another conversation to have when we're talking about the tarot. Fun show tonight. Very interesting to exchange ideas. We're not agreeing about everything, which is always makes for more fun. The cool part is that we can disagree here, and people can see that there's disagreement, and we're still a family.
And,
we don't stop, we're not getting our feelings hurt. We're just, the way you do things and the way I do things are going to be different as well. They should be.
Well, we both have been individual walkers of our own spiritual paths for a long time. And we both have very different experiences. Some are similar, but many are different from each other. And I had a very well-developed path, as you did yourself when we met. So, of course, there are going to be things that are different. That doesn't mean we have to agree or change in order to still practice. Now, we do practice things and do things together that I do slightly differently, as I know you do slightly differently, that we do together than I would have done if I were doing something by myself. Just merely because I'd like to incorporate some of your traditions, and we like to incorporate some of my traditions. And in order to make them sort of meld together and be cohesive, we've altered a little bit of what we do. Not a whole lot, just a little.
Yeah, and there was a lot of
differences.
Yeah,
there
were
not
a lot of differences with that blending. Our concepts of the divine and our understandings of nature are so remarkably in step. It's just some of our practices have been different, And you're right. I mean, we were fully developed members of the high priesthood, each in our own right, when we came together. So, you know, we've been walking a path and learning and leading, you know, for, 20 years or so each when we came together. So, of course, we're going to have, some ways that are fairly well set. It is a testament in a lot of ways to the, first to the relationship we have, and also to our to both of us being very dedicated to the concept that everyone is walking their own path.
Right.
And that's part of what the Spiritual Unity Radio Network is about, is that demonstrating that we can disagree, and that's okay. We can do things differently, and that's okay. And we can compromise, and that's okay too. It doesn't mean that there's a winner or a loser. It means that we blend and we find a way to work together, and when we do stuff on our own, we do it our way. And that's okay. There are no answers. There's a lot of opinion.
True.
And that's really what it comes down to. We share our opinions. You find your own answers. So, well, that's kind of like final thoughts for the night. We are hurtling rapidly. We're going to actually run over tonight. So, if you would, tell all of our listeners all of the ways that they can find us.
Yeah, there are quite a few. The first and probably one of the best ways to get in touch with us is through littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can send us an email, and both Terry and I share that email account, and especially, particularly if you're interested in any of the workshops and services that we perform. You could also, you can also reach us at the radio station, and that is surn.org@gmail.com. Is that right?
Yay!
Yay, okay.
You got it, and you got it on a Tuesday night. That's the first.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You always get it
and
right on Thursdays.
Something about Tuesdays. And you can also... You can also get in touch with Terry or myself on our Facebook pages. My Facebook page is Robin A. McKean. Terry's is Rev Terry Power HP. And I think Terry has a Twitter account. Terry, what's your Twitter account?
At Rev Terry Power HP.
There you go. I think that just about sums it up.
Yes, I kept the public figure page and the Twitter account the same, to make it easy to find. So you mentioned workshops. We just got another communication last night about another event that we're being asked to come and speak. We're still sorting out the details, so we're not ready to announce it. But our summer's getting crazy and busy already. So if you are interested in having us come out to a workshop at your event, you need to get in touch with us soon.
We have no weekend available in June right now.
Yeah, June is booked.
Yep.
The 11th? The 11th we're going to be at
the
18th,
Pagans the 20th, in the Park. All booked.
Yep. We're going to be at Pagans in the Park in Pittsburgh. And we're going to be at the Shaputa of Ishtar, an event put on by a group called the Hands of Change. We'll be doing that on the 18th. And there's another event that has contacted us. It's the following weekend on the 25th, I guess it would be. So June is just nuts, crazy. And then we've got an event coming up. We're going to be at on an event. at an event on Labor Day weekend, as well as, of course, we're going to be at Caldera Fest. So come down to Lafayette, Georgia, and see 30 bands and the premiere of the Green Album, and meet Robin and myself, and just enjoy, you know, the adventure that we're going to all share at our very own Pig in Woodstock. So any of those events, you can get in touch with us for more information and come out and see us. So I guess that's about it, my lady. Was there anything you wanted to add?
Well, that's about it.
Okay. You know, the elemental air is about, you know, as Robin said, you know, early on in this, about messages. And, you know, hearing the messages is part of the, part of that relationship with air. So, put out your wind chimes, stand in the wind, and ask to have that relationship, and it will develop if you put the work into it, just like any other friendship. It's not one-sided. You can't just ask and ask. You have to participate. Now, would you agree with me on that one?
Yes.
You got to put the work into it to have the friendship. So with all of that, I believe it is time to wish everyone a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.